Chapter 8. St. Bernard Combats Heretics with the Hand of God. The progress of error had already been repressed at its source by the glories of the Holy War, and heresy appeared to have lost the sort of charm which it had exercised over the lovers of novelty, from the moment that nobler interests had taken possession of the public sympathy. But if the tree of knowledge of evil no longer exhibited its proud summit in the light of day, its roots stretched all the deeper into the darkness of the earth, and its seeds, dispersed by the winds, were preparing to bring forth at some future time the fruits of bitterness and death. The Pope, according to the ancient tradition of Rome, was in no hurry either to condemn or to punish. He desired to penetrate to the bottom of things, and for this purpose he waited till the noise of arms should have ceased in the West, that he might examine, amid the peaceful and universal silence, the doctrine of the innovators. He settled himself for a time at Paris, where St. Bernard, on his return from Treves, was not long before he joined him. A case which could not so well endure delay pressed very much upon the holy abbot of Clairvaux. It was the terrible ravages which the apostate Henry de Bruce had caused in the southern provinces of France. We have given an account in another place of the doctrine of this heresiarch, and the disturbances occasioned by him both in churches and individual souls. Eugenius judged it fitting to send into these provinces the Cardinal Albini, Bishop of Ostia, accompanied by the learned Godfrey, Bishop of Chartres, and St. Bernard himself. The latter had first dispatched a letter to Hedilefionis, the governor of Narbonensian Gaul. He blamed him for having tolerated the preaching of the monk Henry, and set before him most energetically all the evils which it had caused. "The infection which this man has spread through your states," said he, in conclusion, "is felt throughout the whole world. This is the cause of the journey which we are about to undertake. Come not amongst you from my own accord. Duty calls me, charity draws me. Perhaps it may be granted to me to pluck up out of the church this poisonous plant with its multiplied offshoots. It is true, mine is but a feeble arm for such a work, but I reckon upon the help of the holy bishops with whom I come, and on the powerful aid which I expect from you. At the head of the prelates to whom the Holy See has confided the care of this important affair is to be seen the illustrious Cardinal Bishop of Ostia, celebrated in Israel for the victories which he obtained over the enemies of God. It belongs to you to give an honorable reception to this prince of the church, and to second, according to the power which God has given you, a mission which has no other object but your salvation and that of your subjects." Notwithstanding this recommendation, and perhaps against the goodwill of the Count Hedilefionis, the legate was disrespectfully received in the city of Albi. The great majority of the inhabitants of this unhappy city had rejected, together with the dogma of the supremacy of the Pope, the greater part of the teaching of the Church. And not only did they refuse to assist at the holy sacrifice which the Cardinal celebrated in their cathedral, but they evinced, by cries and sounds of discordant music, the displeasure which his visit caused them, and the hatred they bore to the Holy See. "These people," writes Godfrey, "welcomed him with the braying of asses and the sounds of drums. They were scarcely 30 of the faithful at his mass." St. Bernard arrived in the same city 2 days after the cardinal. "In the morning he caused the bell to ring for mass," says the chronicler, "and whether from curiosity to behold the most celebrated man of his day, or from the extraordinary blessing which followed wherever he went, the Albigensians flocked in such great numbers to the church that the vast nave could scarcely contain them. The servant of God, after the celebration of the holy mysteries, mounted the pulpit to preach the gospel to the multitude of erring men, who were all impatient to hear him. He spoke to them with the greatest gentleness, and explained to them article by article the different points of Catholic doctrine which the innovators had rejected or corrupted. Not satisfied with the rectifying of their doctrinal errors and the enlightening of their minds, he applied himself especially to the task of gaining their hearts, according to the recommendation of the prophet, 'Speak to the heart of Jerusalem.' And this method was the more easy to him, because his gracious words poured forth from an inexhaustible fountain of love. a power at once sweet and penetrating, a balsam of life, insinuated itself in the depths of their rebellious hearts, and softened their minds, like a shower which reanimates a field of corn, and sinks into the dried stems, recalling sap in life. The people who heard him showed by their tears the feeling which he had kindled within them, and the discourse was scarcely finished when truth triumphed. "Enter then into yourselves," says the holy preacher. "Return, erring children, into the unity of the church, and that we may know who are those who have received the word of salvation, let them raise the right hand to heaven in token of their adhesion to the Catholic faith." At that moment, all raised their right hand and testified by a shout of joy their return to the bosom of the church. The monk Godfrey, who regarded this touching scene as one of the most marvelous effects of the words of the man of God, described several of the other miracles wrought at Bergerac, at Calais, at Vertou-Foulet, at Toulouse, and at other places. The most remarkable fact is that which happened at the town of Sarlat in Perigord. "In this place," says the chronicler, "after having preached to the obstinate heretics, they presented loaves to him to bless, as he was in the habit of doing elsewhere. When he had done this, he pronounced the following words: 'You will acknowledge that we announce the truth to you, and that the innovators have seduced you from it, if your sick people recover this health by eating this bread.'" At these words, as he thought too positively spoken, the pious Godfrey, Bishop of Chartres, became alarmed and added, "Which means they shall be cured if they eat with a lively faith." "No," replied the saint, in a tone which bespoke perfect confidence, "I say that all who shall eat of this bread shall be healed of their sickness, that they may recognize by this token that our words are according to God and his truth." The miraculous bread produced numberless cures, and this miracle so forcibly struck the population of the neighboring towns that Bernard was obliged to change his route to escape from the intolerable honors of which he was the object. At Toulouse, the effects of these words were not less abundant, but the excitement and the demonstrations of respect which were showered upon him by the inhabitants of this town nearly brought a serious illness upon Saint Bernard. It is said that his hands were many times so covered with kisses that they swelled considerably, as did also his thin and delicate arms, to such an extent that he could no longer give the benediction. But his infirmities did not lessen his zeal, and like a victim ever ready for the sacrifice, he labored for the salvation of his brethren at the expense of his own life. It is this profound abnegation which so fitted him in the hands of God for great things. "What dost thou expect from me, my Lord and my God?" said he one day. "These people seek for miracles, and we shall derive small profit from our words if thou dost not confirm them by regular tokens of thy power." He pronounced these words as he left the house of the canons regular of Toulouse, where an ecclesiastic named Bernard was ill, having been struck with palsy. But the man of God had hardly passed the threshold of the door when the dying man sprang from his bed and ran after Saint Bernard to thank him with an effusion of gratitude for his sudden and perfect recovery. And so we too, in this age of faithlessness, should run to Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, not only to find a person worthy of imitation or of sound doctrine, but as a powerful heavenly intercessor who can obtain many graces before the throne of God. Saint Bernard, who passing like an apostle through all the kingdoms of the West, carried to all peace and joy, working great wonders, deciding the most difficult questions, concluding the most complicated affairs, assisting at councils, confuting errors, converting the most hardened sinners, obtain for us of the Lord the grace that by our lives we may shed the odor of Jesus around, and have, like you, a lively faith that can move mountains, and an ardent love for the most holy Eucharist, the greatest and most precious treasure of Christianity. Amen. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, pray for us. This has been a production of Alleluia Audiobooks. To listen to more Catholic audiobooks, podcasts, or spiritual conferences, please visit us at alleluiaaudiobooks.com or Google Alleluia Audiobooks. We encourage you, if you found this CD helpful, to make copies of it and hand it out to your friends, we only ask that you do not alter the original audio. Thank you for listening, and God bless.